Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studios.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you tonight. Rob Manfred strikes again. Celtics and Knicks take a crazy turn. And Derek Carr decides to hang up his cleats, his shoulder pads, and his helmet. We'll begin today's show with the NBA draft. The selections were made last night, or two nights ago, actually. Most people thought the Jazz or the Wizards would get the number one pick because they had the highest odds. But somehow, some way, the Dallas Mavericks got the number one pick with a 1.8% chance. This comes after they traded star player Doncic to the Lakers and eliminated their chance of really progressing in the playoffs. But lo and behold, they have got a generational talent in Cooper Flagg who will be available at the NBA draft. So Z, how does this make the NBA look?
Maybe a generational talent. He still has to step on the floor and do it. So let's not induct him into Springfield just yet. You know, like, he's a slightly taller Chet Holmgren at this point. If you look at the measurables and you look at their statistics, they're very close. So Chet's fine. Chet's okay. He's decent. With room to grow. So if Cooper Flagg comes into the league starting out like Chet Holmgren, I think that the Mavs are going to be happy. I don't know if that necessarily takes them where they want to go, but it's a good start. You're looking at the real losers of this are Utah and Washington, right? Because they bottomed out their entire season, both of them, to get the most number of ping pong balls in there. The lowest that Washington could go with the worst record was sixth. And by God, they fucking got there. The worst case scenario for the Washington Wizards was that you get six. And they got it. So, congratulations, I guess. It's a bad look for the NBA, right? Now, you sent me a graphic about trades, monumental trades that took place, and then all of a sudden, they get the team that made the monumental trade gets the number one pick, like the Chris Paul draft, the Chris Paul trade. All of a sudden, New Orleans gets that number one pick, right? The Anthony Davis trade, and then they get Zion Williamson. And now you have
how about the New Orleans? I believe they were the Hornets at the time. Someone buys the franchise in 2009, 2010. They get the first pick, Anthony Davis.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about LeBron leaves Cleveland?
Mm-hmm.
And they get like three first round picks. They get three picks. They had Kyrie Irving.
They got Bennett, didn't they? Anthony Bennett?
Bennett.
God.
And then LeBron came back to Cleveland, and they got Wiggins, who they traded for Kevin Love.
Right. Right. So, utterly predictable. Utterly predictable. I don't want to hear shit about the frozen envelope anymore. I really don't
Let's just say this, Z. If before the draft, you 25% of fans thought something was fishy with the Doncic trade. How many? What percentage think something was fishy with the Doncic trade now?
100. 100. Yeah. The only people who aren't really concerned with that are the Lakers fans because they have Doncic. They don't need to concern themselves with this because they have the player. Now, it just stinks. It stinks to high heaven. And ultimately, it still has to play out, right? Because like I said to you, the Pelicans got the number one pick in the draft. They They took Anthony Davis. The Pelicans got the number one pick in the draft again. And they got Zion. It didn't amount to anything. It didn't. He didn't win Ugats. They didn't win Ugats. And Anthony Davis needed a global pandemic to win a championship. They need to be in the bubble. The Lakers needed to be in that bubble. So that is it, and that is all for that. But if you look at it, right, you're looking at Dallas, San Antonio, and Philly. That's your top three. Yeah, you can't tell me that isn't suspicious at all, right? Wemby has this issue, could be hampered. Second overall pick. Philly, Joel Embiid is constantly MIA. Number three, we'll give you another shot. You'll get another opportunity to rebuild and refortify your franchise. Charlotte's always a bottom feeder, so that one's not surprising. New Orleans at seven, whatever. Brooklyn is Brooklyn, man. Like we said, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden gutted that franchise. They gutted them. Gutted them and left it on the side of the road to die. So they're in the process of rebuilding. They're young. They've got players. Maybe they can accumulate some talent here and make a run. But the optics of it all with the NBA, as usual, look fucking terrible. It looks as if they're trying to ensure that the hierarchy stays in the same place. And it just doesn't sit well, because like a team that didn't necessarily need the shot in the arm got the shot in the arm. Like a team like Utah, a team like Washington, who could use some good karma. Think about how long it took the Detroit Pistons to get out of hell. How long did it take the Detroit Pistons to get to sixth place? A decade? Give or take? The Wizards are still trying. They haven't been good for years. They haven't been good since Wall and Beal. The Jazz are a whole different kind of mess, because there were rumors that if Utah got the number one pick, they were going to shop it. Really? Really? That team is so good that you're going to shop the number one pick. What were you getting back? What did you want back? Because your team's the drizzling shit. I'd be interested to see what Ryan Smith, the owner, wanted for the number one pick.
It seems like you're not big on Flagg. So are you thinking that Dallas should consider trading him?
I think that Flagg is fine. He's a fine complimentary player. The problem is that who's going to take that spot? I don't see anybody who's a generational player here, right? You're talking about who? The kid from Baylor? The two guys from Rutgers? Who were hot garbage?
What I'm trying to say, like, if you were the Mavericks, right, you technically could trade for Giannis, right? You could trade back. I'm sure a lot of teams would want to trade up, and you can collect draft picks and still get a decent player.
The only team...
So are you more in the camp of drafting Flagg, or are you more in the camp of... I mean, you're comparing him to Chet Holmgren. I mean, is that really what you think he is?
I think that's what he is. He's 6'9", 205.
You don't think he's going to be... I think he's going to be better than Luka Doncic.
Is he going to play defense?
I think he will.
Then he's already better than Luka Doncic.
Yeah, he's 18 years old. I think he's going to play defense. He played defense at Duke.
Yeah. So...
He can dribble, he can shoot, he can rebound, he can do... I think he's going to be more popular than Luka Doncic in Dallas, too.
I don't know.
I mean, listen, I don't know. As a Mavericks fan, I'd be fine if they traded him, if they traded the pick. I'm not, I don't really, you know, because all we're talking about is what if, right?
Uh-huh.
We don't know what he's going to be.
Exactly.
I know what Giannis is.
And that's why I wouldn't make the trade for Giannis, though. We know what Giannis is. We know what his back is. Does Giannis take me over the top with Kyrie, well, with Klay, well, with AD?
Well, the whole thing is like, if you're Nico just talks about how he wants this great defensive team, right? That's why he traded for Anthony Davis. If you go get Giannis, ain't nobody scoring on the Mavericks. So, you know, I don't really know. I mean, just to go back to the optics of it, the optics are awful. I mean, just goes back to the NBA just being a shit product. I mean, and then you have the Spurs almost got it. Could you imagine if the Spurs got it?
Wemby? Like, yeah.
You can't. It amazes me how Adam Silver, with the NHL and the NBA and the MLB and the NFL, with all these different leagues and all these different commissioners, that he stands behind his product when shit like this happens. Like, if you're the Utah Jazz, how are you not just fucking irate? Like, this was your chance, right? You were gonna get a white 6'9" kid who could shoot.
That sounds like a guy from Utah.
Going to Utah. And now, you don't even have a top 3 fucking pick. You were the drizzling, you talk about the drizzling shits, the Jazz were the drizzling shits last year.
By design.
Possibly. The Wizards too. Wizards were losing on purpose. And now, you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir. Like, and now the Dallas Mavericks, who just got rid of Luka Doncic, just traded Anthony Davis, or just got Anthony Davis, and have less odds of getting it than I do. It's like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I'm flipping tables over, man. It's garbage. I pay just as much to be in this league, and I do as much as I have to do, and this is what it comes down to? I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. You know, they've had a history of refs fixing games. We've all heard the frozen envelope story. We just talked about how there's been 5 times where a team has traded away a player or lost a player or bought a franchise, and miraculously they get the number. What was that? Good karma? Is the NBA just a good karma brand? A good karma league? It's basura. It's basura. I just don't want to hear it. I'm not going to say it's rigged. And it's not a good look. It's not a good look for the league. It's not a good look for the brand. Not a good look for competition. It's like, come on. What are you talking about here? What are the chances of that happening? And now what am I supposed to do if I'm the Utah Jazz or I'm the Wizards? Start losing again? You've got to come up a better way. You've got to come up with a better way for bad teams to get better other than through the draft. Because this shit ain't working. Like, and amazingly, like, it's a top tier city, right? It's like, it always seems to happen to the big guys, never the little guys, the big guys. And the little guys, when they do get a player, they bolt, like an Anthony Davis, you know? So, but moving on, the Celtics-Knicks series has taken an interesting turn. Jason Tatum tore his Achilles in game 4 as the Celtics fell down to the Knicks 3-1. And they're actually playing right now. So, Z, where do Celtics go from here? And what do you see happening to this team next year with Tatum likely out until 2026-2027.
Well, second row Joe, who's now first row Joe, has to do some of this shit we like to call coaching. Like, it's easy when you have three star caliber players, two superstar caliber players, right? Ask Doc Rivers. You go do this. Actually, four-star players, two superstar players, because Drew Holiday is still a good player. I don't know what the hell's going on with him, but Drew Holiday is still a really good defensive player. He just don't want to be in Boston for whatever reason. He liked
really
Milwaukee.
Is that what you think it's about?
Huh? He liked Milwaukee, bad? Dude. Like, I really don't. He wasn't happy. He wasn't happy about being consulted.
He's an NBA champion, though. Doesn't he have any pride? Do any NBA players have pride?
They're professional athletes. They should have pride, but you know, at the end of the day, they're still human beings. And if you're butthurt about not being in a place you want to be in, regardless of success, you know, I can understand that. I can understand that because at the end of the day, he didn't choose to go there. I understand that. I get it. But the rest of the team needs to coalesce around each other, right? Like, you have Jaylen Brown, you have Porzingis, you have Pritchard, you have Derek White, you have Al Horford, you have Drew Holiday. Like, you got pieces there. You have pieces there to be successful. There's still pride there. So the Celtics, this series is far from over. Even if it, you know, it may end after we finish recording this evening. But they still have an opportunity, right? It's not a game seven. It's not win or go home. Like, they have an opportunity in this moment. They have an opportunity the next game if they win it. It's not over yet. So The same reaction that the Celtics in four crowd had, I'm going to also echo the same thing to the Knicks in five crowd. Relax. Let the game play out. But the Celtics need to come together as a team. Jaylen Brown's got to be the focal point. He's got to be the star that they think he is, that he thinks he is. He has to step up and fill that void. Now, for Jason Tatum to put up 42 and the Knicks to still be up by 9, even with those 42 points, that's a problem for them. So they got to figure it out fast, how to get a team concept together and get everybody on the same page, pulling in the same direction, because you're still in a series here. You got to wake the fuck up if you are the Boston Celtics. Now, as a New Yorker, I don't want that. As a New Yorker, I don't want that at all. But for their pride as defending champions, what they have to do next year, you know, you see what's available. You see what's available and you try and fill a hole on a short-term rental because Tatum will be back. I'm not saying you go out and get Giannis because I don't think that would, you know, I think that would be a little, that would be very costly.
Yeah, but see, what does that look like?
Exactly.
I mean, he's 27, 28 years old coming off an Achilles injury. Mm-hmm. I mean, he'll be back. But
will he be the same player, though?
Right. You're talking about a guy that was at the top of his game. He was a magnificent game he was playing last night. 42 points. Him and Jalen Brunson were going back and forth with each other. And, you know, what are you getting back? Are you getting that explosion? Are you getting that fire? And what kind of team is he coming back to?
That's the question.
You know, so I thought they should have blew this up 2 years ago.
We said it 3 years ago.
You know what I mean, yeah, they won the championship last year, but they won a watered, you know, it was watered. The league was watered down, you know, it was a little watered down. But I do think Boston is the better team, despite the Knicks being up 3-1. I think they're a better team. And you watch these games and they're a better team. They're up. They're usually up by 20. They're up by double digits. But the thing that's killing them is the style of play, right? You're taking threes when you're not supposed to be taking threes. You're dribbling out when you should be going to the basket. You're shooting early in the shot clock when you should be running plays. You're running ISOs, you know, when you really should be working down on their players.
So that sounds like a coaching issue. That doesn't sound like a personnel issue.
Well, you know, it's hard. It's hard, Z, because I get what people are saying, right? Is they're trying to say, well, guys, what you're doing is not working. So why aren't you making adjustments? Well, but what they've been doing has gotten them this far. So, you know, I am not upset with Joe in his coaching and what he's decided to do, because this is what's gotten as far. This is who they are. This is their identity. And he's going to bet on his guys and his way ahead of anything else. And that's fine. You know, you could do that. But understand what the ramifications of that will be.
Well, we're going to talk about this too. Like, Kenny Atkinson's in the same boat with the Cavs. Like, did they make any huge adjustments to the game plan, or did they just roll out the same team that won 60 plus games? And were they too overconfident that they were just going to steamroll the other team because we were so good in the regular season? Is this hubris, or can we give the Knicks a little bit of credit here? Because the Knicks are the Knicks are still coming back in these games. It's not like they're handing the ball to the Knicks and then not contesting their shots, right? The Knicks are actually playing here too. So there's something to be said for that, that the Knicks are taking advantage of the situation. You have to give a little bit of credit, and you have to give Tom Thibodeau some credit.
Well, what I will say about the Knicks is that, you know, they're playing their brand of basketball too, and all of their players are playing at a top level. And they don't have anybody hurt right now, right?
Right.
Anobi's playing, Jalen Brunson's playing, Mikal Bridges is playing the whole game, essentially. Karl Anthony Towns is not disappearing. He's knocking down shots. So you have everybody, you know, you have everything firing on all cylinders for them. So, and that's fine. And that's fine. And it's working. And will it work in the next round? We, you know, we'll find out. But, you know, I would have liked to been able to see Tatum finish out the series and see where it went. They would have definitely lost the last game. Now they're in Boston. Would they have lose this game in Boston? Possibly. But I think you were looking at a series that was going to go game six, you know, it was going to go six or seven games. And now I'm not so certain anymore.
No.
So we lost that. We lost out on that in the marathon that is the NBA playoffs.
Right. Well, but here's the thing, though. We lose out on a marathon seven-game series, but are we going to get a better Eastern Conference final now? Because you don't have the war of attrition in this round, you're going to have a more rested team, and now you're also going to have a more rested Indiana team. So there's a good chance that you're going to have a better brand of basketball moving forward.
I agree. I think you will. I'd rather see the Knicks actually move on now, because I want to see them play the Pacers. I don't want to see Boston without their best player play the Pacers. That's no fun. I want to see two teams there at the top of their game battling for the Larry O'Brien trophy. And, you know, we'll hopefully get that.
And just think about this before we move on to the Cavs. We live in a world right now where we're full of potential on both sides. We could possibly see Knicks T-Wolves in the finals with that trade, right? Mm-hmm. Playing itself out live in front of our eyes.
That's what I'm rooting for.
That's some crazy shit right there, isn't it?
That means that both teams, it was a good trade for both teams, right?
Yeah.
And you find out who won the trade in that series. That's all you ever ask for. So that's what I'm rooting for. But like you alluded to, we're moving on to the Cleveland Cavaliers, who were eliminated last night by the Indiana Pacers. I believe it was 114 to 105, something like that. Donovan Mitchell did all he could, but he was battling an ankle injury. Darius Garland had a foot issue and was trying to muscle through it. Ty Jerome was in and out of the game at the end of the game, didn't play any of the first half. And Rick Carlisle got his guys to play, man. They were down big early, but they stuck with it. In third quarter, they took the lead, and they slammed the door closed in the fourth quarter. And so now the Cavs, who had the best record this season, right? And then they were the highest scoring team this season. Donovan Mitchell became the ninth all-time scorer, points per game scorer in the playoffs. But here they go and they lose. They lost five games. They lost, I think, a total of 10 games at home this season, and five of those games were to the Pacers. It's wild. So, Z, where do the Cavs go from here, and what do you think about the Pacers moving on?
Well, let's address the Pacers first. Let's go with the winners first here. And the reason why you can go with the winners first is because they were playing hard-nosed team basketball, hustling. Like, the hustle back on defense was impressive, right? You know that they know the fundamentals of the game because Rick Carlisle teaches the fundamentals of the game. Like, he drills that in. We've seen that when he was with Dallas, when he was with the Pacers the first time. His teams are always fundamentally sound, and they're always situationally aware. So when you have two guys breaking back on a fast break to ensure that nothing goes in, that's all you need to know about the Indiana Pacers. They're hungry, they're talented, and, you know, they're going to give whoever they play in the Eastern Conference Finals a run for their money because they can score, right? Tyrese Halliburton, Mr. Overrated himself, he's a good player. Pascal Siakam is a good player, right? You have really good players champion. On this team.
Champion. Siakam's a champion.
Siakam is a champion. We as the media have really undersold what they've been doing in Indiana because it's not as sexy and it's not as flashy as like Boston or even the Knicks. They just get good fucking basketball players.
Nice
pass. And they coach them up and they get them to play a team concept. Perish the thought. My God, what an asshole. What an asshole is Rick Carlisle. I just want you to play the game of basketball the right way. Now, to the Cavs. I'm a big proponent, as you know. You have to learn how to lose before you can win. You have to go through this. You have to experience it in order to grow through it. We're seeing it in the NHL, right? You're seeing the Winnipeg Jets on the precipice of being defeated, right? They're about to get knocked out of the playoffs.
Well, that's a thing. What is it? It's the Vesnia?
Whatever. Oh, the President's Trophy.
The President's Trophy. Whoever wins the President's Trophy don't win the championship.
Last time was the Blackhawks. That's what that's about. Last time was the 2012 yeah. Blackhawks. But
right. 13 years
ago. But that's the thing, though. Like, you're just so into the regular season, and you're such a good regular season team. What do you have left? Because the playoffs are a different animal. The playoffs are a war of attrition. And you're not going to be able to do the shit you did in the regular season. Because, as you can see, they're 0-5 against the Pacers. They got your fucking number. They know what you're going to do, and they're better than you at it. So, that's a job on Kenny Atkinson, right? He has to learn through this. He has to learn how to, you know, play the chess game with Rick Carlisle. Because Rick Carlisle is a criminally underrated coach. Criminally underrated coach in the NBA. And Kenny Atkinson, while he is good, he is not on the level of Rick Carlisle. Donovan Mitchell is good. He needs more from his surrounding cast. Garland, Allen, you can't be selective no-shows. Right? You got to be in this thing. Max Strus, text in the group chat. Ugh, that was great. If you don't believe, don't come to work. Well, they didn't come to work, I guess, because they lost by 9. And you, sir, were 0-9 yesterday. So you, Max Strus, were a little bit of a no-show yourself, which is interesting. You know, it's just growing pains. They'll be back. I know, like, we were talking with Kristen Okrist before about possibly, like, do they go for Giannis? Do they go for another guy to go with Donovan Mitchell?
She suggested trading Darius Garland.
Right.
Which is wild to me.
And, you know, we'll definitely try to get Kristen on so she can say her piece. I think it doesn't need to be so drastic. I think a couple tweaks, maybe a free agent, comes. Maybe you're able to lure some guys because now you've demonstrated that you're growing. You went from 4-1, right? You went to the second round of the playoffs. You were out in the first round last year. So you're trending in the right direction. Free agents may want to come to you now. So I don't think it needs to be a drastic overhaul, but something definitely needs to change, and somebody needs to come and help Donovan Mitchell.
I mean, I just don't think I could ever trust Cleveland ever again. I mean, you had a team that was blowing people out, and they were really hiding a lot of their issues by crushing teams. And then, let's be real, Z, they caught the injury bug.
Yeah.
You know, Donovan Mitchell's hurt. Darius Garland's hurt. Mobley was hurt. Hunter was hurt. They're all hurt. You know, I think a healthy Cleveland team beats a healthy Indiana team, but that's just not what the NBA is, right? You know, it's, you know, the best team moves forward, and you've got to be able to have backups. You've got to be able to have a plan. And they clearly didn't. They clearly didn't. And I do like Kenny Atkinson as a coach. But yeah, let's be real. Rick Carlisle outcoached him. And he had his players ready to play. They were ready for the fury. They were ready to be down. And they had a plan to get back. And they hit shots. I mean, Halliburton was over 60% from three. 60%. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're challenging. And Donovan Mitchell, I know he's hurt. He's missing foul shots. He can't be missing foul shots at this juncture, man. You know? He had a chance to tie the game with a three. Gets fouled on the three. Misses all three shots. You can't miss all three shots, man. And, you know, and again, it's just like, Kristen said it best. Why prolong the inevitable? Why even win this round just so you could get, you know, clapped next round? No thanks. It's all right. We're good. We didn't have what it took, you know, to move on to the next round. And it's a shame because, you know, it was when they went and got Donovan Mitchell, I think we all were like, so? And? What? And they were trash last year, right? Four seed, something like that.
Lost
to the Pacers, whatever. And then this year, they got off to such a hot start. I want to say they were something like 20-2 to start the season, something stupid. And they're just scored. Our buddy Ty Jerome. Crushing it, coming off the bench. And the MVP scoring. They had no magic. They had no magic in this round. And it's a shame. But no, I won't trust the Cleveland team again. Kristen Okrist wants to trade Garland. I like their backcourt. I like their team. But unless they're able to keep it together for 100 games, it seems like, they're not gonna go nowhere.
No, definitely. I mean, you need, if you're going to play a team concept, you need to be able to play the team concept the whole way through. But injuries are going to be an issue. Then you're going to need to roll a deeper rotation out. Like, that falls on coaching. You have to see what's going on here. And if guys are too banged up to give you their 100%, then you need to be able to find it someplace else. You got to be able to look down the end of your bench and say, you, what's your name? Get out there.
Or figure it out. Or figure it out. Figure out how to maybe shut down Halliburton or slow the game down. You know, make teams run sets. You know, have a plan. But they'll have all summer to think about
it. Yeah, what happened with Tristan Thompson? Like, DNP.
Why didn't he get any burn?
Yeah, DNP, coach's decision. What the hell?
He's not really a scorer, Z. And they were trying to, you know, score with these guys. That's the other thing. They made a decision early on that we're gonna outslug these guys. That was the whole thought process. It wasn't that we were going to play defense. It was like, we're gonna score more than them. We're not worried about how much they're gonna put up. We don't need to worry about defense because we're gonna outscore them. At least that's what it looked like to me. I didn't, you know, they only started doubling Halliburton in the second half.
Yeah.
it was already out of control.
But that's all you need to know, really. I mean, if you're looking at who got playing time yesterday, Carlisle rolled six guys off the bench. He rolled six guys, including Obi Toppin.
They know how to go for the jugular, too, though. They know when they're up, they start burying threes and really put you down. They've figured this whole thing out. They were really running as a well-oiled system as they get to their second Eastern Conference Finals in a row.
So maybe we need to start giving them some respect here. Like, everybody, you know,
they've got to win the next one because they're going to go back. They're going to go in the Cleveland bucket if they lose to Cleveland or Boston in the next round.
You can't help but smile when you see a balloon. PopStarsBalloons.com offers spectacular balloon decor for all of life's events, specializing in custom balloon creations and installations for private events, corporate and school functions, photo shoots, brand events, and fundraisers. Led by certified balloon artist, the PopStars Balloon team shape balloons into custom works of art. PopStar Balloons provides full concept balloon design, build and installation services, as well as pre-assembled decor pieces available for pickup or delivery. PopStar Balloons is a woman-owned, small family business focused on providing professional balloon services using only high-quality, 100% biodegradable natural latex balloons made in the U.S. and Italy. They consistently prioritize the safest use and handling of balloons in a sustainable and responsible manner. PopStars Balloons is located in Westchester County, New York, but likes to party at events throughout New York City, Connecticut, Long Island, and New Jersey. PopStars Balloons can also accommodate balloon decor services for destination events. No event too big, no event too small, and their custom personalization service is the perfect touch. They also offer a full line of event decor options like backdrop, prop rentals, tablescapes, dessert table setups, custom signs, and they always deliver with a smile. Whether you're looking for gift balloons, classic decor, or large-scale design for a big impact, PopStars Balloons will create the perfect decor for your theme, vibe, and space. So if you have an idea in mind or need inspiration, PopStars Balloons decor will be the cutting edge and spectacular. Visit PopStarBalloons.com to pop your next event.
But moving on to your favorite friend, Rob Manfred.
The myth, the legend.
Continues to try to ruin the game of baseball. Yesterday, he decided players can only be banned for life and not indefinitely, which makes players like Joe Jackson and Pete Rose, and pretty much all of the Black Sox who threw the 1919 series, eligible for the Baseball Hall of Fame. Sozy, do you support this clownish new rule by Commissioner Rob Manfred?
I do appreciate your use of AI as you created Rob Manfred the Clown. So, Schmucky the Clown.
I almost put it on social media, but I wanted to give the guy a little bit of respect.
Well, I mean, we also don't want to get blocked by Major League Baseball. Because that's probably what's going to happen. It's not, to, you know.
I wouldn't say his name. I would just post it.
Oh, God. So, in reality, this doesn't just affect Pete Rose. It affects Shoeless Joe Jackson. It affects the eight men that were Eddie Seacott, Buck Weaver, Sweet Riesberg, all of the players, Chick Gandel, all of the players that were banned.
They lost on purpose to get more money than Comiskey was willing to pay them.
And you had guys like Felch, who I believe had a good series, so he double-crossed the gamblers. I'm sure that worked out really well for him. And then Shoeless Joe Jackson, who was illiterate and didn't know what the hell he was doing, and ended up paying $375 in the World Series after agreeing to throw it. So,
well, I thought Buck Weaver was the one that batted the best out of the group.
Well, Buck Weaver had a great series because he never agreed to anything, but he was in the meeting and didn't rat them out. Like, that was the story, right? So Buck Weaver knew about it, didn't tell the commissioner, and then that's how he ended up lumped in with the eight men. Now, it's bullshit. It's absolutely bullshit. How many times do we have to say it? What's the first thing you see when you walk into any Major League Baseball clubhouse?
No betting on baseball.
Bingo!
No gambling.
No gambling on baseball. So, well, that shit goes out the window the moment FanDuel and, you know, DraftKings, and you're allowed to have multiple team parlays and shit like that. But you can't bet on baseball. No. 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 You can have a fantasy football team. Like, but you can't. No, you can have Chris Bassitt during spring training wearing his fantasy football loser jersey as the bat boy against the Yankees. You can have that, but you can't bet on baseball. It's a rule as old as time. It's older than Big League Chew. That's how old this rule is. And Pete Rose broke it. Those eight men, possibly with the exception of Buck Weaver, broke it. And now they're going to get rewarded. So it's absolutely ridiculous. And it didn't even take 24 hours for somebody, a certain somebody on X, Trevor Bauer, to come and ask, now that the moratorium has been lifted, now that the blackballing is over, can I get a job now? Fuck you. Go rot in Mexico. Go rot in fucking Mexico. Have another YouTuber step in the batter's box. So that's what I think about fucking Trevor Bauer. The reason why you can't get a job is because nobody likes you because you're an asshole. That's why. Clearly you have talent. Clearly you have talent. You're an asshole and possibly a sexual predator. Yeah, those are two strikes. Two strikes. Because then it opens Pandora's box. Oh, Pete Rose is in now. Like, shit, does this mean that we're just going to let Roger Clemens in? We're just going to let Barry Bonds? They cheated the game too in a different way. Like, are we getting to the point where we just let them all in? Just let every motherfucker in. Just let them all in. Just like, you played, you're in the Hall of Fame. Doesn't matter. Doesn't fucking matter. You know, the moral high ground is now gone. Major League Baseball used to have they used to be the guardians of the game, right? They used to talk about the integrity. They used to talk about the best interest of bullshit. It's all gone now. It's all fucking gone now. And I can't say that it's for the better. Did I think that Pete Rose, if he showed contrition, should have gotten in the Hall of Fame? Absolutely. Pete Rose thumbed his nose routinely at Major League Baseball. He gave them the finger every single chance he got. Hell no, he does not deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, I had people today, I had people yesterday argue with me that they were like, well, he never bet on his team to lose. It's like, what? Like, what don't you understand? And he's like, well, you know, he really didn't care about winning. It was just about gambling. Like, he just had a gambling problem. He just wanted to gamble. So like, you guys aren't getting it, though. You're not understanding how there were rules. He broke them and he didn't give a shit. And I think, you know, just saying to someone, oh, you're banned for life, but once you die, you know, we can put you in. I mean, that's just stupid. It's just clownish. Like, so, okay, Pete Rose never got in while he was alive, so he dies, and then they put him in, and then his family gets to reap the benefits of seeing him there. And they're like, well, he belongs there. He's the hit team. It's like, I'm not doubting what he did as a baseball player. He was a great baseball player. But I have a problem with a man who broke the rules and wasn't sorry about it. Didn't care. That's the problem I have. I've said this on this show many times where Andy Pettit cheated. He used performance-enhancing drugs. And when it was found out, Andy Pettit did not lie about it. He said, yep, I did it. I did it because I was trying to come back from an injury. I was hurt, and I wanted to get back and help my team. So I cheated.
To me, Andy Pettit is a... That's what I'm talking about. You're sorry. It was a mistake. You did it for sort of the right reasons, a little clouded maybe. But to lie and then to say, not be ashamed of it or not be upset for what you did. Anyway, regardless, he's just eligible now. So he's still going to have to get voted in by sports writers, right? You have a guy like Buster Olney who said he's going to vote for him to be in. Buster Olney has already said he's going to vote for him to be in. And all he wants is on the plaque to note that he was banned from baseball. I'm never going to the Hall of Fame, ever. I'm never going to step foot in the Baseball Hall of Fame because it's just a crock of shit. Like, I'm sorry. You don't get to have your name with the guys who did it right. And people were saying, oh, I'm a purist and you've got to be a saint to get into the Hall of Fame. No, you don't have to be a saint to be in the Hall of Fame, but you got to at least be sorry about what you did and not, you know, thumb your nose. Like you said, thumbing your nose at people about it, you know. They gave Pete Rose a path into the Hall of Fame. They said they wanted him to talk to minor leaguers about what he did and to speak about how gambling is bad, and he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't travel the minor league circuit talking about what he did and how it was wrong to help other players who might be struggling with the same problems he had. Fuck you.
That's it.
Fuck you, dude.
That's it.
Fuck you.
You didn't get it.
And then Barry, what I will say about Barry Bonds cheated, but pre-steroid Barry Bonds, you could put that motherfucker in the Hall of Fame. Like, that to me makes sense. So, you know, but A-Rod too. You know, but...
But you know what?
But see, I gotta say, if you let one in, let them all in. And then there's just no penalty now, right? It's like if you're a guy who's on, you know, the cusp or on the, you know, you're on the fringe, do it. Do it. And if they catch you, oh, well, you're out. It's fine. Because when you die, you can still get a chance to get into the Hall of Fame or not have all your records expunged and so on and so forth. To me, it's trash. It's trash. And it just, I can't wait for this guy to not be the commissioner anymore.
It's an absolute joke. It's a joke and it's a travesty. But if you're looking at it, you look at guys like Mark McGwire, you look at guys like Barry Bonds, while they cheated the game, they did serve a little bit of penance. Did they not? I mean, they're still able to be of service in the game of baseball. Barry Bonds is a hitting coach.
Mark McGwire won a World Series. I think he won maybe even two World Series as a hitting coach.
Yeah. So there's something to be said, you know.
100%.
And Pete Rose could have had that.
Right. There was another path.
He was a damn good analyst. Like, he could have, you know,
the way it went.
No.
And you didn't have to be so and you know what? The worst part about this was he used to say, I'm going to get in someday. He used to say that. They'll put me in. He used to say that. And the fact
he's right.
That after all this, he's right.
The son of a bitch is right.
He won another bet.
Oh, shit.
He won another bet. So
I like to
jokes on you. Another one, you know, stand behind your product. What does that do for the guys that did it right and that are in there? It doesn't mean anything. It means nothing.
No.
You could put A-Rod's bus, Barry Bonds' bus, right next to Tony Gwynn, Greg Maddux, and all those guys. Because at the end of the day, you're all just players. You're all just players. You know what? And then you can't even make it go to a player vote, because if it goes to a player vote, it's the same deal, right? It's like, okay, well, you know what? If I did it, I want them to vote me in too. So, you know, maybe you just have this whole thing where we'll do it and we'll get bailed out by somebody. Just like, it's trash.
My question is this, though. Because, I mean, Shoeless Joe Jackson's been dead for 75 years. I mean, Pete Rose hasn't played in forever, right? Like, how does it work? That's what I want to know. Because they're not of recent vintage, are they just going to go to committee vote? Or are they just going to go to, are they going to be eligible for the ballot next year?
Oh, if they're, I would assume they're eligible for the ballot.
That's insane.
That's the way I would think of it's going to be.
That's
because technically they were never eligible. I don't think Jackson was ever eligible.
No, because he was banned
banned. Yeah, so yeah, they'll all be eligible next
year. That's fucking insane. So he could get in next year.
Yes, he can.
Yeah. Joe Jackson getting ex Eddie Seacott. All these three cheating motherfuckers can get in there next year.
Well, that's the only thing I'm saying is if you let one in, let them all in. That's my only argument. I don't want to hear, well, this guy did this, this guy. No. You all agreed to this. Or change it. Just change it. Put them somewhere else. Put them in a different room.
Yeah.
Put them in a different building. Put them in a different wing. Create a new, maybe it's not the Hall of Fame. Maybe create the Hall of Greatness. The Hall of Legendary, where these are the guys that didn't cheat. These are the guys that won championships. These are the guys that broke the rules records. How about we just create a different building? Fuck the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame is for everyone. How about the Hall of Greatness or the Hall of Legends? That and the Hall of Legends is every sport. It's not just football. It's not just basketball. It's every sport. It's every guy who was at the top of their craft, who didn't cheat, who didn't bet on games, who didn't take steroids, and people who won, changed the game or broke records. It's the only motherfuckers that get into this other place.
Or
maybe that's what we need.
Yeah. I mean, their story is a part of baseball history, right? It is the stuff that you don't talk about, but it exists, right? It's the boogeyman that they don't really talk about. Maybe they, you know, a separate wing, a separate building, something.
Put them in the courtyard. Put them outside.
Yeah. Put them at the outhouse next to the field.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Right.
But
in the ditch.
Right.
In the gutter.
Like something symbolic that these guys are separate. Yes, they were very good.
These guys are at the top of their game and decided to still cheat and gain an advantage, even though they already had an advantage.
Bingo. And yeah, you throw A-Rod in there. You move Ortiz out there because he was in the Mitchell report.
That's fine. I'm fine with that. I don't have a problem with
it. You move Pudge out there. Pudge was in the Mitchell report. You let Rafael Palmeiro in. How you doing?
Sandy, come on. Roberto Alomar.
Yeah. But there has to be something. Because at the end of the day, they should not be rubbing elbows. I mean, throw Ty Cobb out there. He was a racist piece of shit. Throw him out there, too. Like,
sure.
You know, like, it's performance-based, but it's also character-based. And your lack of character is glaring. And your lack of compunction, your lack of contrition is glaring as well. So I think you really got to let all eight guys in. You put all eight guys on one fucking plaque. And you tell the story of how the 1919 Black Sox almost sank the game of baseball. And how Babe Ruth saved the game.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much. With FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com.
And maybe the game doesn't need saving, but there's certainly some teams that need saving because Derek Carr retired on Friday to the surprise of most of the NFL, citing a degenerative shoulder issue. Now, have the Saints become the front runner to land Aaron Rodgers?
My God. What are we doing here?
Who will be playing quarterback for the New Orleans Saints next?
What the fuck are we doing here? Why? Like, you know, we talked about this weeks ago when it looked like Derek Carr was going to have shoulder surgery. Now the motherfucker just up and retired. So congratulations on...
Do you think the Saints knew he was going to retire?
They had to know he was mulling retirement. They wouldn't have taken the kid from Louisville if they didn't...
I think they still take the kid from Louisville, but it makes me... Let's put it this way. If the Saints do not sign Aaron Rodgers, then I believe they're tanking for Archie.
Yeah.
And they knew Derek Carr was going to retire. Because you have a quarterback room of... Is it Brom? Is it
anything? Oh, my God. Yeah. You have
Spencer Rattler. Spencer Rattler. It's just garbage.
Jake Haener.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It's absolutely atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. I mean,
but anyway,
and you know what? At that point, trade Alvin Kamara. Like, if you're
Aaron Rodgers, don't you call the Saints? Like, that seems very enticing, right? They have Alvin Kamara. They just got the new coordinator Moore, mm-hmm. who came from Philadelphia. Yep. They have Chris Olave. They have two other guys that can fly down the field. They're super fast. They play defense. They play in a dome.
Yeah.
They play in the NFC South, which is winnable, right? Isn't that where you want to go?
You still have Taysom Hill, so you have a tight end. You have a decent tight end. You got options here. You have a good defense. Cam Jordan on this team.
You have young kids that are not going to threaten your job because they don't even know what a football looks like. Right? Yeah. Isn't that where you're going? And if you're the Steelers... Do you have some kind of handshake agreement with Aaron Rodgers, or are you a little nervous now? Because you're like, well, fuck, we don't have anybody in our quarterback. We don't have anyone. There's nobody here. It's empty. So are you? Because it's clear to me that Aaron Rodgers is not interested in doing any volunteer football activities. He's not showing up to OTAs. He basically wants to just show up to minicamp and... No, he wants to not even minicamp. He wants to show up to training camp and play. He
wants to show week one. It's like, all right.
And I'm sure the Steelers are okay with that because they don't have a fucking choice. But if you're the Saints, I mean, I think you got to call him unless you want to lose. And you're cool with losing.
At which point you should trade anything of value. Right? Because if you're going to do it at the deadline, you might as well do it now. So,
yeah,
you're not going to go anywhere with these four guys. So
I think it's fair. No, it's fair to say that they should just trade Alvin Kamara, trade their assets. Well, Lave...
The concussions are an issue.
Concussions are an issue. Yeah, so you might want to trade him. But if you kept him, it wouldn't be a big deal, right?
Yeah.
Because he could be your rookie, right? But, I mean, not that you're your rookie. He's still on his rookie deal.
Yeah. It's confusing. It really is confusing as to what the hell the plan is. I mean, if you're going to give the keys to the car to show from the kid from Louisville, I mean, I guess. Like, you've seen the other guys. We've seen them perform. We know they're no good. So it's okay. If I'm all for trying something new here. But... This team, outside of quarterback, it's not a bad team. The problem is that
outside of quarterback,
it's not a bad team.
Outside of the most important position on the field, they're looking pretty good.
Yeah, but look at the roster. If you look at the roster, dude, it's like, oh, he's a good player. He's a good player. What the fuck are we doing here? They just brought in Justin Reed from the Chiefs. I forgot about that. Like. What are we doing here?
Oh, the corner.
The corner. The corner slash kicker. So, like, what are we doing here? I mean, I don't see Pittsburgh being a better fit for Aaron Rodgers than this because of all the things that you said, right? It's in a dome, temperature controlled, winnable division. I'm not getting the shit beat out of me by the Ravens.
Pickens is gone.
Pickens is gone.
It's just DK Metcalf. They don't have a running back. They've lost Najee Harris. So what are you going to Pittsburgh for?
Yeah.
What's in Pittsburgh?
I don't know. I really...
It's outside. It's cold. Those fans are fucking annoying.
All of those things are lining up against it.
What are you thinking about Derek Carr? Well, how will you remember him?
He played football.
He did. Right?
He played football
for a couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, solid. Not even solid. Like solid at points. Like flashes of greatness. Like always got hurt at the wrong time. Think about it. The Raiders, with him under center, went to one playoff game, and he didn't play in it.
Get out of town.
Yeah.
Is that
Yeah,
true?
It was the kid from Notre Dame. I forgot, not Notre Dame, Penn State. What the hell was his name? McGloin. Matt McGloin. He started because Derek Carr was hurt.
That's amazing.
And I'm pretty sure they got their ass beat by the Bengals.
All those years,
and he didn't even get to start. He didn't even get to play in the game.
Playing it,
it's like, ugh, bro, come on now.
You know, I will remember Derek Carr for a really weird statistic or a really weird tidbit. John Gruden wanted to come back to football, and he had it. And over the years, he had an opportunity to coach. He had an opportunity to coach Peyton Manning. He had an opportunity to coach like some really good quarterbacks. And he decided to come out of retirement to go coach Derek Carr. And I'll never forget that because I never understood it. Out of all the teams he could have came to, that's where he went.
None of it makes sense.
And thought Derek Carr was like the best shit since like sliced hands. Like was such a big like wow, Derek Carr is. I remember watching training camp and he was. I mean, he's always been a player's coach, right? But just him really just loving sucking it up for Derek Carr. It's like, yo, it's Derek Carr. He went to Fresno State. He's throwing Devontae Adams. Like he's nobody, man. He ain't that great, you know.
John Gruden strikes me as the kind of guy who loves every quarterback. I haven't seen a quarterback that he really hates.
Well, he dates quarterbacks. He doesn't marry.
You know, that's true.
I watch a lot of John Gruden on YouTube. I really enjoy listening to him talk about football and explain football. He's got a passion that, you know, I don't know if every coach has, but it's intoxicating to hear him talk about it and explain it and how much he loves the game and knows so much about the game and remembers so much stuff. You know, if you have a chance to listen to him, you know, he got on the bus with the boys and he does a lot of stuff with Barstool. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, he understands the game like few do. And his talent evaluation, however, particularly at the quarterback position, is right on par with Mel Kiper.
No.
He loves everybody, man. What's your snap count?
Well, no, he said...
Do it again.
He always had a thing for... That's another thing. He could have came and coached Andrew Luck. He didn't do that either. Because he loved Andrew Luck. He said it was one of the best players he ever scouted.
He has very poor decision-making skills. Like he has very, very poor decision making skills. Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, nah, fuck that. Derek Carr. I'm good.
Right. I'll take Derek Carr for 200.
Come on. Like he was fascinated by Jackson Dart. So I won't.
You know, I've been watching a lot of Jackson Dart too. He's very impressive. He can throw the ball. And he knows his stuff. It was interesting, just a sidebar a little bit. You know, I was reading a lot about the Shedeur Sanders situation with the Giants. So apparently, Shedeur Sanders came in, and like other teams do, and like the Giants do, they gave him an install to learn before he came in. And then when they brought him in, they wanted to go over the install and they purposely put errors in the thing that they were saying and the things that they were doing, and he didn't catch them. And that was like a big turnoff for them.
where if you watch it, you can go on YouTube and you can watch Jackson Dart's interview with the Giants, and he fucking nailed it, aced it, crushed it, like, knew the terminologies, knew where he was going with the ball, knew the formations, answered all their questions correctly, was super comfortable when they were grilling him. And he had the general manager there, he had Daboll was there, a couple of coaches were there, and he took every question in stride, didn't hesitate. At least we only saw the ones where he didn't hesitate, or the ones that he felt comfortable
with. Yeah.
But it was really like a good watch, and it was like, oh, okay, he knows what he's talking about, you know. So it was an interesting thing, and it sounds like from other things that I've been reading that Joe Shane really spent like all of last season, like really going to a lot of college games, scouting a lot of quarterbacks, really trying to get this right. And he really felt like Dart was the guy after all his evaluations. So I think they got the right guy there. We'll see how it works.
We'll definitely see how it works out. But, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, sometimes I do that too. If I'm writing something on the board, I'll intentionally like write a negative instead of a positive or something like that, just to like see if the kids catch it or like, you know, something like that. And some of them do, some of them don't, you know, but at the same time, which is good on Jackson Dart that he's able to see these things. But the presence of Shane and Daboll, it's not the same as having, you're not staring down the Eagles and making that decision, right? It's just two guys in suits. But you, in the speed of the game, right? It's kind of like there's a difference between the classroom and actually testing. Like, you have the 3 hours, the clock is there, the test is in front of you, the pressure is on. And while there was pressure to get it right, there's a hell of a lot more pressure when you got another guy on the other side who wants to murder you. Like, there's a big difference. He wants to rip your head off of your neck and take the ball. So it's a huge jump in pressure. So we'll see, you know, like, he's got the Ole Miss pedigree. So at least he played some level of competition. He's not like he's coming out of Duke. So we will definitely see. All I remember, to go back to the Jackson Dart thing, like, he was just fascinated. Gruden was just fascinated that in 4 years, his snap count was clapping. Jackson Dart just clapped his way through 4 years of through how many years of college? Like, good for you. Like, what's your dummy snap count? I called it purple. So, are you fucking kidding me?
It's like we don't count sex. So
is this what football's coming to? Clapping in purple? Like, Jesus. But yeah. Derek Carr at least had a snap count to tie it all together in a pretty bow. He knew how to manipulate a snap count at least. And yeah, it's just a nondescript career that is going to lead to confusion and frustration for the veterans that are on that team. And like, I certainly hope they don't get Aaron Rodgers, because that's going to be even worse, because the circus will come to town. So, New Orleans is definitely a team to watch, but I see them with the current quarterback room. They are certainly cellar dwellers.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto, we really care about what's under your hood.
Fair or foul? Judging the more messed up stories of the week.
All right, boys and girls, we have a statement. It's either fair or foul. Fair or foul. Number one, the New York Rangers hiring Mike Sullivan as their head coach.
Now, I believe this is the Penguins coach. I really like this. I believe he's got two Stanley Cups. I believe he used to work for the Rangers.
He was Torts' assistant,
so,
yep.
So I'm going to say fair. I'm loving this hire.
I think it's fair as well. It's about time that a tough, no-nonsense, no-bullshit guy comes in here and just kind of lays it down, right? Now, he was Torts' assistant for years, well-respected throughout the league, won two cups, as we know. Now, he had Crosby, he had Malkin, he had a really good Penguin team. Veterans got run into the ground on that team. So we're going to see what happens here, because Sullivan's success is ultimately dependent on Kreider, Zibanejad, Panarin, and Trocheck. Right? Those four veterans. Zibanejad has the no movement. Kreider has a no movement. Kreider has familiarity with Sullivan. Do you necessarily want to move Kreider in this case? Especially since it came out that he was battling vertigo. Which, why the fuck was he not on injured reserve if the dude had vertigo? That's another question for another day, I suppose. But Sullivan will impose his will on this team in a way that Peter Laviolette could not. Right? Peter Laviolette's good in short bursts. Gallant had no plan. Laviolette seemingly had no plan. Sullivan is a builder, right? Sullivan carries on from Torts. They build from the goal line out. Think about what the Ranger defense was under Torts. Girardi, McDonough, stalwart players. Mark Stahl, Anton Strålman. Really solid defense. And one of the real bugaboos was defense this year. It did not exist. You have Vaakanainen. You have Adam Fox, who's been injured. Like, is Adam Fox the same guy now that his knee is, that he's back from his knee injury? I don't know. Keandre Miller, is he actually a defenseman? Zach Jones, what the fuck is he? Like, you got Carson Soucy, goodbye. Like, guys, some of these guys are not going to be here. But, you know, is Braden Schneider going to take the jump? Under Phil Housley, the answer was fucking no. A resounding no. Like, they regressed as the season went on. But I think that the spark on the defensive side will help the offensive side as the team concept gelled under Torts. And it's essentially the same system. So you get the right guys in here. You get the right buy-in. You got JT Miller. You got him back. Another guy who was here under Torts. There are rumors that the Rangers are trying to reacquire Ryan McDonough, which, you know, like, he's got more tread on the tire, but he's still better.
That's what I was about to say. He's a little
old. He's a little old, but he's better than five of the defensemen they were running out there. So you get McDonough back, he's probably on your second D pair. So there's something to be said about that. I think it's absolutely fair. I think it's going to be great. And now Chris Drury, he needs to do his work. Right? You locked up Borgen for an extension. You locked up Parson in. Now you got to do some work. Because the expectations just got a little bit higher because you went back to a previous regime. Fair or foul, number two. The NFL season opening with Eagles Cowboys.
I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, I guess it's fair. I mean, it's a It's an NFC East game, right? It's going to get ratings, right? Yeah. We're going to get to see the Cowboys, and everybody wants to see America's team. You could have did a rematch of the Super Bowl because I believe the Eagles are playing the Chiefs this year. I actually probably would have preferred Eagles-Rams. I think that would have been a great opener because they had such a great game. I mean, that was the only team that really almost knocked them off, right? So I say it's fair. I don't have a problem with it. But if I really had a choice, I would have preferred to see Eagles-Rams or even Eagles-Redskins.
Interesting. So
Cowboys don't do a lot for me because who do they have? They just got Dak, right? They traded for
Dak, CD, and Pickens.
Pickens.
And Parsons.
And then their coach is my old roommate.
How is Brian these days?
BS.
I get that. The NFL is trying to make a thing out of the defending champion opening the season. And I like that. I think that's good. You know, you start defending your title day one. Awesome. Cool. Here's the Eagles schedule for the year. You tell me who you'd rather have. You got Dallas week one. Chiefs week two. Boom. That's a matchup I'm already interested in.
Where is that game?
That is at Arrowhead.
Is that in Philly? That's probably why. Oh no, but they could have played them, I guess. Because your home and away opponents are already announced, so they couldn't play the Chiefs.
Okay. So here are the Eagles' home opponents. If you wanted to keep
Rams
are week three.
Rams. I'd like that one.
Broncos are week five.
Okay.
Giants are week eight. Nobody gives a shit. Move on. Aha! I got it. These two. One of these two. The Lions or the Bears. Caleb Williams, okay. Ben Johnson, you know, new hope. Like maybe, you know, you see something there. And the last one's interesting too. The Commies. You were right. I think you're onto something here. You know? The Commies somehow got to the NFC Championship game last year. Right? I'm sure they would like a little bit of sweet revenge. So why not? Why not give it a go? That week one is usually the week of upsets, right? Usually the most unpredictable weeks are 1-18. So it's something to be said for that. Like, put a relatively fresh matchup out there with two exciting teams. The Cowboys are fucking tired, man. it's tired. America's team, right? America's team has not even been in a Super Bowl since 1995. It was a different century. It was a different century. The last time the Cowboys were relevant. So, it's, you know, we're getting the Cowboys shoved down our throats. And frankly, I'm not here for it. I am here for the Eagles defending their title. Like week one. I think that's cool. I think that's something that the NFL needs to continue. It's a good tradition, right? That right up there with Christmas. Actually, let's talk about Christmas because you got the Netflix thing going. You got two games on the Thursday and you got another one on the Friday. I don't know how I feel about that. Like that's a tradition I don't necessarily like. Thanksgiving is a fine tradition. Everybody's in front of TV. I like the idea of a champion defending their crown. It's too much. It's absolutely too much on Christmas. And I think it's Cowboys. It's
Cowboys.
Cowboys Chiefs is Thanksgiving. I think I heard week 13. Oh, interesting.
Okay. Maybe they're playing the Broncos.
The Chiefs are playing the Broncos. I think Christmas Day. So that's interesting. So you at least have some sort of matchup that people would be interested in. I just think it's too much saturation and it's a lot of greed. But it is what it is. The Cowboys are overrated, overstated. like Michael Wilbon likes to say. And it's not going to be much of a game anyway. So let's just get it over with and move on to the next one, which is the next day, actually, because it's Friday. You have the Chiefs and the Chargers from Sao Paulo, Brazil.
That's going to be a mess. Someone's going to get hurt next.
Yeah. Have we learned nothing from last year? Have we learned nothing from Jordan Love? I guess not. Good job, NFL.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade Store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an Alleged Superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at the Fade Store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade Store with DNZ.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ, on our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and on our Spotify page, and you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out in this year's show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
In a landslide, it was Justin Tucker. Oof. Wow. Terrible, horrible, no good, very bad. Ugh. Doesn't really tug at your heartstrings. Rubs a lot of people the wrong way. That was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Legend Superstar of the Week, D?
All right, so first up, I've got your former roommate, Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Major League Baseball, decided that lifetime bans effectively end when you die. So if someone's banned from the game, once they die, they are technically reinstated. And are eligible for all the things that are joyous about baseball, like getting elected to the Hall of Fame. He's essentially allowed a person like Pete Rose and a person like Shula Joe Jackson to be elected into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Rob Manfred, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two, I've got Adam Silver. Allowing a lottery fix where the Dallas Mavericks get the number one pick after they traded Luka Doncic to the Los Angeles Lakers. It must be hard to stand behind your product after something like that happened. Adam Silver, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And last but not least, the Boston Celtics. Looks like you're going to pull off this win against the Knicks, but you are essentially down 3-1. Possibly 3-2 when you should be up on this team. You're a better team. I understand that they lost Jason Tatum, but you're a better team and you are allowing this to happen because you're sticking to what's not working and not being able to change your game up to fit with beating the New York Knicks. Boston Celtics, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. What do you got, Z?
And you can't argue with any of them. You can't argue with any of them at all. So, role players play best at home, right? So, they got Friday night at the Garden. Madison Square Garden, that is. You expect the role players for the Knicks to show up. And then, Game 7, all bets are off. Or, if they're able to withstand the Celtics, because they have pride, move on to the Indiana Pacers.
Oh my God.
I'm going to start with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Number one team in the regular season. You know what that means in the postseason? Ugats is what that means in the postseason. It means you're out. Adios, muchacho. Hit the golf course. You lost to the Pacers 4-1 in the series. You lost 10 games all year. You lost 18 games all year, excuse me. Five of them were to the Pacers. Yeah, they just got your number. They got your number. No adjustments from Kenny Atkinson. A no-show from a lot of the big-name talent, not named Donovan Mitchell. And that's all she wrote. We'll see you next year. Cleveland Cavs, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, the NWSL. In a match between Angel City FC and the Utah Royals on Friday, defender Savvy King had a heart episode, collapsed on the field, had to be rushed to the hospital for emergency heart surgery. They kept playing. They kept playing. As somebody who's old enough to remember DeMar Hamlin, as somebody who's old enough to remember Christian Eriksen, as somebody who's old enough to remember Owen Hart.
Christian Eriksen was a scary
one. Yeah. The show's got to stop. The show has to stop when something serious happens. Sorry, guys. Absolutely not. That should have been suspended. Pick it up another time. Because ain't nobody in the mindset of playing soccer at that point. NWSL, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And then number three, Trevor Bauer. For just being a douchebag shitster.
Oh, now that Pete Rose has been... Can I get back into the...
Shut up. Shut up, Trevor. No, you can't get back in the game.
Now that the blackballing is up, can I get...
No, shut up. First class, grade A, number one troll. That's Trevor Bauer for you. Man. The Mets dodged a fucking bullet. I gotta say, when he reneged on the offer to go to the Dodgers, I was originally pissed off. I was very pissed off because here I thought this guy was just a bad businessman. Right? I just thought he didn't deal in good faith. Now I know he's a shithead all the way around. So you go. That's next level shit. Trevor Bauer, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRoutDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutPodcast. Go to our Spotify page and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.